Welcome back, Right Side Radio, spanning south of Birmingham to north of Huntsville, from Tuscaloosa to Gadsden, with parts of Georgia, Tennessee, and Mississippi thrown in for good measure. Welcome back.
You're a natural. I'm loving it.
I'm trying hard.
Well, you're way prettier over there than Phil is.
Well, thank you. Well, let's get to that first triple dipper.
All right, let's do it.
And I know that this one might resonate with you, Boomer. Title IX in trouble.
Oh yeah.
You've got some athletes in your family.
Yes, we do, and I'm eager to get into this conversation.
Yes, and you'll be eager for my my guest caller coming up at 2:45. Going to have an elite level athlete, a national champion, and my best friend.
Oh, that's awesome. And don't forget, still at 4 o'clock today, what do we have?
We have the Grand Council.
We're still doing the Grand Council
today.
I'm doing it.
I hope Dale's ready.
Oh, I'm sure.
And Jeff.
They're not ready for it yet. They aren't.
Well, all right, let's start with Title IX in trouble. This is the introduction of biological men into women's sports and women's spaces, as well as women events. I'm going to kind of cover it all. My hot little hands here, and the show prep is, as usual, posted on the website. I found an interesting article in Newsweek. Cycling race defines women athletes after transgender cyclist wins. A cycling organizer announced a change to its gender classifications last week after a transgender cyclist recently won a Belgian waffle ride race. Not sure. Are they racing two Belgian waffles? That would be awesome. In a press release on July 7th, Monuments of Cycling, which owns the Belgian waffle ride, said that as of August 1st, all races will be following a new gender classification policy. Female. In interest of protecting the parity of sports between women and men, racers who were born female may compete in the classification. The announcement also states that the male category will allow individuals who were born and or identify as male. In addition, there will be an open category, which is open to all racers regardless of gender identification, who may compete in the that classification. That announcement came shortly after Austin Killips, a transgender woman, which means biological male, won a Belgian waffle ride race in North Carolina in May. In a statement on Monday, the founder of Monuments of Cycling told Newsweek that in keeping with our values in response to feedback that we recently received from some cyclists after our most recent North Carolina race, we announced last Friday updates to our racing classification policies. They're not going to require them to have proof of eligibility for this, but I mean, it's usually pretty readily obvious. I find it funny, Boomer, there's going to be two categories. That means the males are going to win two out of three categories.
Because
you know, a man's going to win that open category one way or another.
Yeah.
Actually, if a male just goes down and competes in that one, he's going to have an advantage over the trans woman, because the trans woman usually has to have some sort of hormonal influence, right? It's not enough
exactly
to bring him down to a woman's level, but it's probably enough to dampen their competition against men with no hormonal influence.
I would say so.
Yeah.
I mean,
so if you're a guy,
taking any of that stuff would definitely dampen something.
And if there's going to be money for each event, you know there's going to be dude that's like, I'm not winning this male's race. I'm like number 40. But man, I can win that open race.
That's exactly what it'll be.
So still, two out of three will be given to men. Interesting. But I thought that there was another one where a New York Post article, transgender cyclist forced to stand alone on the podium after win. And he gets blasted by Megyn Kelly. After the race, Leslie Mumford posted, I have no idea why so many people bailed before the podium, but they did.
Wow.
I can tell him why. This person transitioned. It was a Colorado SWAT team member. So not small. And I'm looking at the picture. Long arms, looks kind of tall. That's going to be such an unfair advantage with these long legs, really long legs. In cycling, you know?
Well, yeah. I mean, those long legs will just more power.
Yes. but a former SWAT team leader.
I mean, so kinda, come on.
Kind of, you know, bad A there.
Yeah.
And just said, I just don't understand why so many people bailed. She says, I swear I wasn't the only one in my age group. There was 43 female competitors who finished after her in the 40 to 49 category. And not a one of them stayed behind to stand on that podium. I find that interesting.
Huh.
Yeah.
So that is very interesting.
They also have a non-binary category.
Of course. But, no, they're starting to do all those different categories now.
Yeah, but he didn't join the non-binary category.
Well, see, don't you think it should be just said, all right, if we're creating this category, you can only do this category?
Well, I mean, obviously, there's different cyclist organizations. You know, some of them are establishing this.
Okay.
I don't know if they all have. But I think it would be a good idea because listen to this. She easily won her age group, beating the second place racer, Lindsay Crete, I think, by 17 minutes.
That's a huge margin.
And the third place rider, Michelle Van Sickle, by more than 30 minutes. That's just astonishing.
Wow.
So, you know, and neither of those women spoke about being no-show on the podium.
Well, but, I'm sure they didn't because, I mean, yeah. In my head, like I'm sure we're going to get into a lot during this first Triple Dipper is it just shouldn't happen to begin with.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's funny because it said the silent protests are starting. This is Inga Thompson, a 3-time Olympian and 10-time national champion medalist at the Tour de France. Women are refusing to stand on the podium with the man. Well done. Now, people are starting to speak up.
Good. They need to.
Yeah.
I mean, there's only so much that, you know, some one person can do.
Yeah.
And I believe that everyone should be standing up for this stuff.
Well, it usually just takes a few brave souls and then the dam breaks and people go, oh, I'm not going to be the only one, you know, and nobody seems to be getting canceled. Everyone's afraid of the consequences of going against what the message is. And the message right now is, you know, trans women are women. Well,
yeah, maybe a little nervous of being canceled themselves.
And I can't blame them.
Right.
Nobody wants to lose their job. Nobody wants to be called something phobic. Enter name here.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, look at here. This article is talking about Riley Gaines, who I happened to see last weekend. Amazing, amazing, beautiful girl.
Mm.
It doesn't help. It doesn't hurt her cause that she's gorgeous. Enough is enough, says Riley Gaines, the swimmer who became outspoken critic of trans athletes competing against biological women. And when she lost to the former Will Thomas, now Leah Thomas, male, who is like a giant compared to them. Empty podium, except for the male, who naturally finished atop all the women in the women's category. Despite there being a non-binary trans category, he easily could have competed in. Keep it up, girls, she wrote. Hashtag save women's sports. And I think that's kind of the important thing. If we don't start standing up, who's going to save women's sports?
Exactly.
Yeah.
I mean, it needs to be completely saved. I mean,
that's what Title IX was for. It was to assure access for both men and women, I have to say. It's not gender specific. But at that time when it was, I believe it was 1971, and it was established so that women would just have access to sports because there weren't sports teams. And so they're telling them, hey, if you have a soccer team for men, you need to have a soccer team or access for women to play soccer. So it was much more of an access issue. And it's like we're going backwards. Women may have access, but just like soccer, when you look at the U.S. soccer team and Megan Rapinoe, who I find repulsive, she is sitting up there saying, oh, trans women should be able to play. If trans women could play, she wouldn't be there.
Mm.
Because 15-year-olds beat them. 15-year-old boys beat the U.S. women's team. If a 15-year-old boy can beat you, a 30-year-old man can take your spot on the team. And then you won't have to negotiate for fair pay because you won't be there.
Because you won't be there.
I mean, am I making sense?
Hey, make complete sense.
So I just see that I want to also highlight Megyn Kelly said, now there's a story every other day now about a trans person winning a women's cycling event. Women's cycling is all but gone to us. I mean, it's worse, I think, than women's swimming. And she also said she was a male sheriff's deputy until 2 minutes ago. And now he's Leslie and has won the women's race. So I think that it's all about, you can't just stand up and say, oh, I'm a woman now and I want to compete in this race. I want to take trophies away. I want to take money away. I want to take opportunity away, like on some of these teams. I want to take the ability for you to make nationals, regionals away. And so I've got much more on this subject coming up for sure. And can't wait to talk to you guys, and we'll be right back. Just like that dude said, solid conservative and just plain right. This is Lee from Huntsville in for Phil. And we're in the first of the triple dippers. And it's called Title IX in Trouble, Biological Men in Women's Sports. I saw a great text boomer, John from Huntsville, said, I don't know if you know this, but apparently there is an increase of transgender women entering women's golf tournaments. And I just saw where a transgender woman recently won a tournament in Australia. That's from John from Huntsville.
You know what? I did see that just the other day.
I think I did too.
Don't forget this text though. Allie from Athens said, you rocked it. Keep it up. That was your monologue for the
well,
monologue.
Thank you, Allie. I appreciate it. I'm doing my best. But yes, I think it's interesting that a lot of people say, well, this isn't going to be a problem. You're not going to have a bunch of transgender females who are biological males entering women's sports and winning. That's not going to happen. And it is. Mm-hmm. And like I say, when there's money involved and tournaments involved, people will find a way.
They'll find a way.
So I got a call here. Yeah. You said it was Brian from Huntsville?
Yeah.
Awesome. Hi there, Brian. How are you?
Doing well. Salutations, and that was a good opening monologue.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it. Came from the heart.
Yeah. All right, and I hope John gives you a good grade at the end of the day.
We'll see. We'll see. He's a tough one.
But I thought I'd mention, based on your monologue and everything, a lot of the ladies are not going to the podium with the transgender athlete and everything. And I'm thinking, instead of the national anthem being played when you get a medal, how about Tammy Wynette, Stand By Your Man?
Yeah, I think that might be appropriate.
Y'all have a wonderful day.
Thank you, Brian. I appreciate it. Well, it's hard to argue with that. I think it's funny because Tony from Piedmont said, what we used to call science. And it's interesting, from the same party of trust, the science is now, don't ask about science. Don't talk about science. Women are women. Trans women are women. It's no difference. There's just absolutely no difference. It's insane. I found an article I found really interesting since we're on the cyclist discussion. Trans cyclist wins women's race to prove a point, rips other trans athletes as selfish. So Na Hua Rin, I'm hoping I pronounced that right, wanted to prove biological males are physically superior to women. He is an actual trans woman, and he transitioned last year. So he's 37. So he transitioned at 36. So there's the full male development there, no doubt about it. But he's now officially recognized as a woman under South Korean law. But he wanted to continue racing and did so against biological women. However, she didn't get that euphoric feeling of victory, and decided, he comes from a Christian family, and he realized that racing against women when he was physically superior just didn't provide the competition level, and he said, I have no unresolved feelings over winning because that's no longer what I want. My goal was to stir controversy and get my story heard for the competition. And that after the victory at the Gangwon Sports Festival, Na admitted feeling more relieved than triumphant. Said, I am not honored. I'm not proud of myself at all. I believe other transgender athletes should feel the same way. They may not want to admit it, but they're being selfish. And there's no honor as an athlete in that. And I think that Na hit it on the head there. I think he's got it right. Is there honor in just kicking the pack of women, you know, beating them by 17 and 30 minutes? Is there honor in that when you were a man 5 minutes ago? I don't think so. Boomer, what do you think?
Sorry. No, not at all.
And I admire the fact that he competed in that race, did what he did, won big, and then came out and said, this isn't fair, and I'm pointing it out. I respect that.
I mean, and that's what it said in the article, was that he did that for that reason?
Yes.
See? Okay.
Specifically because he wanted to show the essentially the unfair situation it was.
Got it.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yep.
Wow. I mean, yeah. Okay. I mean, I understand that, and
yeah.
I applaud that he did that, but still...
There's a lot of others with other motivations.
With other different ones, yes.
All right, coming up, we're going to have a conversation with an elite athlete on her feelings of men entering the women's sphere in a lot of ways. So look forward to having that discussion with her, and we will be right back. Welcome back. This is Lee from Huntsville in for Phil Williams on Right Side Radio. And I have got a special guest to kind of help me discuss the first dipper, Title IX in Trouble, biological men in women's sports and spaces. She made history as the first black gymnast at Alabama, NCAA all-around champion. She was on the NCAA championship team. Two of them, I believe. SEC all-around champion, SEC female athlete of the year, 17-time first team All-American, Honda award winner. It's a big deal. Over 20 years as a communications professional, writer, and publicist with a client and in-house roster includes a billion-dollar grossing fashion and lifestyle brand, two box office successful feature films, real estate developments, and most recently, head of communications for a leading e-commerce marketplace and manufacturing company. So she has done it all. So this is Dee. Welcome, Dee.
Hey, what up?
And also my best friend, just for full disclosure.
Right. Full disclosure. I've known her since we could both breathe. Thank you.
Yes. So I know you've been listening and heard some of my conversation about Title IX, which I know is close to your heart, being such an accomplished high-level athlete since you were four. So kind of give me your impression of how biological men making this entrance into women's sports, even with the influence of hormones and things like that. I want to hear from you about what it would have felt like to you to have this type of experience, and how you think it's affecting the world of sports today.
Yeah, first of all, I wouldn't even refer to it as an entrance into women's sports. I would refer to it as an infiltration into women's sports. I don't, I mean, you know me, I'm straight, no chaser. I'm not for everybody, and I really don't give a rip who I'm not for. but as a former athlete who has, you know, competed at the highest, you know, NCAA level, and competed at the highest level as a USA gymnast, I have an enormous problem with this. And I think it's, I think irrespective of the sport that it applies to, I mean, I didn't run track and field. I'm not a swimmer. It's prevalent in those sports. Mm-hmm. But I don't think that really matters. What matters is that they're, in my opinion, and you know me, I'm always going to take something, everything back to the Bible, right? Mm-hmm. So I'm a word girl. I'm, you know, everything has a, you know, every natural manifestation has a spiritual cause. So that's just how I roll. I'm word from the table of contents and the maps, and you know that.
Mm-hmm.
So in my opinion, and based on what the Word of God says, I see this this infiltration of men permeating women's sports as part of a bigger sort of sinister design, right? It's something that's much bigger than the sports that are affected by it, the athletes who are affected by it. It's, this is part of sort of an initiative, in my opinion. And the initiative, the author of this initiative is Satan, the end. So, and what the initiative is, and this, you can take this all the way back to the garden if you want to, but you know, the first thing he did with Eve was deceive her, right? So
true.
That same sort of deception, although it is not truly deception because everybody is on to it, but there is this deception of acceptance where you know, the governing bodies and the powers that be are saying that it's perfectly fine for biological males to compete against biological females. And, you know, everything from, you know, it's famous now, Serena Williams' quote about this, you know, 5-10 years ago, she's like, I'd lose 6-0, 6-0, 6-0 in a match with any man. It does not matter who it is. He could be ranked 997th, and he's whooping me. You know what I mean? And so I think it's part of a bigger, sinister agenda by the evil one to continue to pervert what God has created, right? Let's just take my sport, for example. Women's gymnastics is distinctly different from men's gymnastics. There are lines of demarcation from everything down to what we wear,
right,
to the kinds of apparatus that we compete on. Women don't do rings. We're not strong enough to do rings.
Right.
We don't do high bars. Too dangerous. We don't do parallel bars. We do uneven parallel bars, right, because
right.
Our bodies are more aerodynamically geared toward uneven bars versus parallel bars. So all of the equipment in gymnastics is designed for the respective genders. Men do certain things that we don't do and vice versa. Like men don't do balance beam. Can
right.
you imagine
no.
if a man did balance beam? I mean, it would be instant, you know, if they did want to be the other gender, the balance beam could take care of that.
No surgery necessary.
About a half of a second.
What about the floor? What about the floor? Think about how different
they are. The floor is both gymnasts, male and female gymnasts both do floor, but men don't have music. They don't express themselves, mm-hmm. you know, with through dance and turns and leaps and that kind of thing.
Grace.
And, you know,
mm-hmm.
there's not an opportunity to flirt with the crowd and, you know, sort of get on the good side of the judges. That when a man does floor exercise, it's based purely on power and strength.
Mm-hmm.
So they do things that without music, without dancing around like women, they... You know, they do a lot of strength moves, like pressing to handstand from a seated position and
mm-hmm.
massive tumbling skills. And so it's about power and strength for men because they are more powerful and stronger than women. Full stop. So inherently, I believe that this is part of a bigger sort of, you know, Satan perverting what God created thing.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, unfortunately, there is this small handful of people who happen to be decision makers who are in agreement with this nonsense. And I can only say, I can only deduce from this that what's really the underpinning of why this is being allowed is because of an inherent hatred of women.
Mm.
Any man who is okay with unleveling the playing field does not like women.
Mm.
Does not like women.
Doesn't
inherently.
Respect them. Mm-hmm.
And I think it may be even something that's, you know, subconscious, maybe even unconscious, but somewhere in there is a hatred. There is a, you know, I can't compete with people my size, my weight, my height, my skill level, my, you know, muscular strength, how much oxygen I take into my lungs mm-hmm. when I'm performing and competing. I can't compete with them. They're whooping me. So I'm going to go over here and be an enormous fish in a much smaller pond, and I'm going to whoop up on people who have no shot. I'm going to whoop up on people who are, everybody's competing for second.
Mm-hmm.
That is an inherent hatred, in my opinion, of women.
Yes, and a total lack of respect. Some of these athletes are denying girls, just like this high school track star, winning a race, and denied the fourth place finisher from going to state. I mean, it took taking opportunities away.
That's exactly right. It's taking opportunities from female athletes, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, and I can just say, I'm you know the kind of family I come from. If when I was competing, if this were a thing, so let's say that when I was competing, you could be a specialist, right?
Mm-hmm.
We didn't really, that didn't start happening really until like my junior, senior year in college.
Right.
But now it's prevalent. In the thick of it, yeah, it's very prevalent now, which again, I have lots of get off my lawn opinions about that. But, because I mean, if you're doing four events and somebody else is only doing one or two, why do you have the same scholarship? Just asking.
Ooh,
so,
true.
Yeah, that part. So, but I will say that if when I was competing, that a man was allowed in my locker room. Oh, no. I, first of all, you wouldn't even be able to hear from me because my mom, my dad, all three of my brothers and my sister would have been in front of me
mm-hmm.
raising all kinds of cane. Like
mm-hmm.
it would be so stank and ugly and not cute. It would not. And I'm just going to, you know, in full disclosure, I had a sexual assault experience when I was in college.
Mm-hmm.
And so even if that didn't happen, it would be an enormous problem. But the fact that it did happen, and if men were allowed in my locker room after I had experienced that kind of trauma, oh, I would have definitely quit. I would have given up my scholarship. I would have, from the trauma of that,
mm-hmm.
I definitely would not have experienced the collegiate career that I experienced. Because if men were allowed in our locker room, I could not have handled it after experiencing something like that. I couldn't.
And can you imagine if you were told, like Riley Gaines and them were told, that you were the problem and that you needed some sort of therapy to get over your bias?
Right.
To a full
right.
naked man in your locker room?
Exactly, over my bias, and also that I'm some sort of a phobe, right? Like that I am now being canceled from society because I am concerned about my physical well-being. And
right.
again, I'm an example of somebody who actually went through something where there was an enormous level of trauma. And in fact, it was years before I could even deal with the trauma of that because I'm a person who just kind of plows through everything and. I kind of have my eye on the prize and I don't really look to the right or the left, but so I was able to still have a very, by God's grace, to have a very successful career
right.
in college. But if we had this other layer of something to deal with, oh no, I would have, and what happened to me happened when I was a freshman. So I would have, and I won the national championship when I was a freshman.
Right.
So I literally would have missed everything you just read at the top of the segment. All of those accomplishments never would have happened if men had been allowed in my locker room. It just wouldn't have. I would not have been able to overcome and play right now. I was 18 years old. I would
right.
not have been able to overcome the trauma of that. I just couldn't.
And there are women who have left cycling. I had another article on that. They left cycling and retired in their early 20s, mid-20s, because they're not going to be constantly embarrassed by being – or not embarrassed
right.
by being
– And if you have – I mean, listen, if they're anything like me and many, 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 many athletes are – second place sucks, okay?
Right.
We're not there for that.
Amen.
We're not there for that.
No.
We're there to win. We're there to take the top prize. And if there's no shot of that before I even show up,
yeah
no. No, no, no. That is an injustice that is of biblical proportion, in my opinion. And this is one of those examples that I think that, you know, it's kind of like, you know, the walls of Jericho. God gave them crazy instruction to, you know, walk around for 6 days in a row one time, and then on the seventh day walk around seven times, and on the last time around shout, right, and the walls were going to fall. I believe we are in a similar scenario with respect to this biological males competing against biological females, I think there's going to be a Walls of Jericho moment. I think that there is going to be multiple voices that are much louder than the smaller ratio of voices. And even though we may not have, you know, the media support, may not have the governing body support, there is something about that unified shout that usurps all of the support that's going in the other direction. So
I think it's starting.
I think something like that is a brewing.
I think it's starting with the women starting to refuse to get on the podium. And I think the next step is going to be the women refuse to get in the pool. They refuse to get on the course. They refuse to
get their competition anymore.
They're just going to walk away. Yeah.
Absolutely. And there's great organizations already. Like there's one called Icons. I think Riley is a part of that organization,
yes.
as a matter of fact. And
yes.
they're all about sort of, you know, taking certain initiatives and raising funding to support the women who are competing in these sports who are at an unfair disadvantage now, all of a sudden. Like they train their whole lives. That's the other thing.
Right. It's your whole life.
The commitment to the training. You know, I mean, by the time I got to college, I'd been in the sport 13 years. 13 years.
Right.
I can't fathom, you know, having, you know, going into sort of the sunset of my career, because for many people, their careers are over after their 4 years in college.
Right.
Like gymnastics is a sport like that.
All right. Beautiful. So I hear the music playing. We got it. We got to carry over to the next hour, but you're going to join me to talk about the second dipper, right? The time for term limits. We'll see you. We'll be right back.
Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right.
Like that dude said, we're solid, conservative, and just plain right. This is Lee from Huntsville in for Phil Williams, trying to fill those shoes.
Oh, and you're doing an awesome job. I
well,
love
thank
it.
Thank you.
Hey, have you seen some of these text messages that have come through?
Yeah, we've had some great ones.
Oh, yeah. Well, I'm going to read this one for you. Ruff Leanne from Huntsville. She goes, D and Lee show.
Thanks, Ruff Leanne.
She's loving that.
You're my BFF. Remember, Ruff Leanne, you said you wanted to be, so you earned it. Thank you for that. I see one from Frank from Huntsville. Bruce Jenner is an Olympic gold medalist. Now he's Caitlyn Jenner, and he's against transgenders competing in women's sports. He knew he could dominate women's running when he was competing. I mean, yeah, he could. He was I think he was a decathlete. He could probably dominate in every part of that. Marcus from Huntsville, if this isn't fixed, we're going to have men's sports and men that look like women's sports.
Well, it's true, though.
Very true, Marcus.
Very true.
Very true. I think this is really resonating with everyone. And I think Brian from Huntsville said it well. Term limits, yes. Right now it seems that we have terminal limits, even as minds slowly fade with age. Thank you, Brian. You are correct. And we're about to jump to that. But I do still have D on the line. I kind of want to wind up the first dipper, Title IX's in Trouble, and talk about not only men in women's sports, but men in women's spaces. There's been lately men jumping in, biological men jumping into the beauty queen world with gusto. You had a transgender woman win Miss Nevada, and then go on to go to the Miss U, I believe that's Miss USA, and lost, and said, "Oh, they just weren't ready for a transgender woman." in the Netherlands, a biological man actually won Miss Netherlands and will be competing. I don't think it's happened yet. For the whatever the next pageant up is. And there was also in Italy, there was 100 men that have applied to compete in the Miss Italy pageant. I just find this whole thing incredible of men just jumping into women's spaces and taking women's places. What do you think about that?
I mean, you know what I think about it. Going back to what I was talking about before we went to the break, mm-hmm. you know, I think this is part of a bigger agenda, you mm-hmm. know, from the dark side. Mm-hmm. And I think there's a lot of people cooperating with the enemy. Mm-hmm. Some are very aware that they are. Some people are not aware that they are. And I think that there's an enormous group of people who are not aware that they're actually siding and cooperating with Satan's agenda by, you know, quote unquote, tolerance and going along to getting along and not wanting to, you know, upset the apple cart or make waves or get labeled with some sort of, you know, with some phobia label or whatever. Everybody's so afraid to get canceled. Mm-hmm. And so they're really revealing within that, you know, what they really worship, like what's the most important thing to them. I think that we, men who are, first of all, they're not women. I'm saying what I'm saying, okay? They're not women. They are men. Who are actually sort of, it's kind of, it reminds me, I'm a black woman, I can say this, but it reminds me kind of like a minstrel show, except instead of the over-exaggeration of color and skin color, it's an over-exaggeration of womanhood. That literally, I don't know one woman who prances around, dresses, wears makeup. I mean, well, we don't have 5 o'clock shadows and you know, Adam's apples to cover up, but I'm just saying. It's the caricature. It's a caricature of womanhood. And it has absolutely nothing. First of all, we're way more than long hair, lashes, makeup, and dresses and heels. We're way more than that. It is such an insult, in my opinion, such an insult to how God designed women. God designed women so distinctly differently from men. And the things that women, that makes a woman a woman and that women are capable of doing mm-hmm. that they are to partner with men in is now being so misrepresented, one, and two, just bastardized. I mean, they make a laughing stock of womanhood and when I say they, I'm talking about a group of people who I believe have been turned over to reprobate minds and are now mentally ill. Because of that. Mm-hmm. I believe that there is mental illness, but I think that I think that every natural manifestation has a spiritual cause. I think the spiritual cause is that they are oppressed and influenced by something very dark and very sinister. So there is an injustice present. Mm-hmm. And I don't, most of all, I just don't appreciate the slighting, you know, the reduction, the reductionary nature, right, of how they make women appear. You know, this is day whatever, but you know, Dylan Mulvaney, God bless him. I mean, he needs some help. Mm-hmm. But you know, for him to go on and on about day this of being a girl and day this of being a girl and day this of being a woman, it's so reductive and you and I can both attest to this, and every woman on the planet who's past age, you know, 7 can attest to this. That walk one day in these stilettos, boo-boo, and you are going to be screaming for your manhood again. Promise. Promise. Love being a girl. I love being a woman. I would not trade it for anything in the world. I'm created in God's image, and he created me exactly as he wanted me to be created. He's not making any mistakes. There's no accidents. This is all on purpose, okay?
Yeah.
Totally here for it.
However, there's
some stuff about being a girl. Come on now.
But it's a lived life experience. It's a day-to-day since you were born.
It's a different
thought process. We don't even think the same as men.
Well, that's right. And we're meant to complement men.
Yes.
We're meant to be helpmeets to men. So if there's, you know, competition, I saw a viral video that ran around with a man who was pretending to be a woman, and he said, I'll take your man. Don't let me see him in the bathroom, because I'll take him. He'll walk out of that bathroom and he won't be coming back to you. I mean, this is a level of
depravity,
of threat that is being imposed on womanhood. It's an all out attack mm-hmm. on womanhood, and it's actually men saying we're better women than you. We're better at being a woman than women. This is a perversion.
It's like women of the year going to who was it? what's his name that we were just talking about, the decathlete, Bruce Jenner, he got Woman of the Year, and you're like, so he's even a better woman than me. Okay.
It's an assault on womanhood, and it is, you know, and then, when you're giving it media attention and it's editorialized and it's memorialized on the cover of a publication, they're saying, we're on board with this and you don't get to be what you are in the lane that you've been at anymore. The game is changing. The lane is changing. And the real aim of this, because we all know who the author of Confusion is, the real aim of this is to have women questioning themselves, questioning what their womanhood really means. I mean, this is far-reaching implications. Far-reaching. By the way,
agreed.
The greatest implications are for the people who are being deceived.
True.
By this. The people who are actually sort of sucked into this environment, this narrative, this conversation, and who are complying with this influence that's over them, this dark influence, they are the most at risk. They are the people, that's who I'm really praying for, is the people who are unfortunately deceived by this and are complying with it. That's who I'm most concerned about, because they are the most at risk. Do we need to talk about the stats about suicide rates? Do we want to go there?
I know. I think it's pretty well known, but yes.
Okay, thank you.
You can't.
Yeah, it's bad.
Yeah, yeah. You can't go through this type of transformation and not have mental issues and mental breakdowns.
Mm-mm.
It's going to be very common.
No, of course.
Well, all right. Let's move on to my second dipper, which is time for term limits. And we'll talk about it for just a minute. I titled it that because our politicians seem to be determined to stay in office until they die, just clinging to power with their bony fingers. And I mean, literally, they want to be on the Senate floor giving a vote and just keel over and dead.
You have to take the gavel out of their cold, dead corpse
exactly.
hand. I got it. Yeah.
Exactly. And it's the Speaker of the House is 82 years old. The Senate Majority Leader is 71. The average age the average age of a senator in 2021 was 64.3. That's average.
Yeah. Well, I mean, okay, so I have two takes on this. One is that I am 100% against any form of ageism at all.
Right.
Because I mean, we're the age we are. I feel literally better now than I did when I was 30. I feel 30. I also believe that there should be a prerequisite for competency testing, right? So I don't necessarily, by virtue of the number of someone's age, I don't have a problem with a certain age being in these positions of leadership. That I don't have a problem with. What I have a problem with is that there is this consensus bias that once they're in. And that there does not have to be any checks and balances, that there's no prerequisite for mental competencies. And by the way, this is one of the few jobs on planet Earth where you can fail over and over and still keep your job.
Absolutely.
The only other people that I know for which that's true is some coaches in collegiate athletics and pastors. They're the only ones who can just, like, repeatedly fail and not get fired. So you know what I'm saying? Like, I think that there's a through line that can be drawn, and that through line is there's no checks and balances, there's no accountability. Once they're in, there's then no accountability. They may take a little bit of heat for a decision made here or there throughout the course of their career and the tenure of their run, but they really don't have sort of this objective group of people saying, we are the arbiters about whether or not it's okay for you to still be here. We are the arbiters about whether or not you are competent to still hold this position and function in full capacity. I mean, we straight up saw somebody have either a seizure or a stroke
on live
television a week and a half ago.
Yeah, Mitch McConnell. Yeah. Because I don't care if they're Democrat or Republican.
I don't care who it is. I don't want to see that. One. It weakens us as a country because we weren't the only ones who saw it. Every single one of our enemies in foreign lands saw it as well. So it's just not acceptable. This is not a good look. It's not what we want, you know, sort of having it. This is not the optics we need as a country at all. So I don't necessarily, so I'm 100% for term limits with the caveat that I think there needs to be a competency test, you know, some sort of, and I mean thorough. Yeah. I mean like a ruthless, down and dirty Navy SEAL level test, right?
Agreed.
Where if they're not sharp as a tack within an inch of their lives, you're out.
They don't like, get to make out. They don't get so, to yeah. make decisions spending our taxes. All right. Well, I've
That's
got the I've got the music going, so I'm going to have to take a break. But I've so enjoyed having you on, and we'll have you
Thanks
on again.
Thanks for having me on, sweet girl.
Thanks. We'll be right back, folks.